But we're growing, amen?
Amen.
And we're not in a hurry, right? I mean, why do we need to be in a hurry? This was asked the other day. A brother shared with me, an older brother in the Lord shared with me. He was in a pretty big meeting, and he had been in this meeting. It was a long meeting. It was kind of like one of those, you know, conferences, you know, a couple days in. And he had been going early tonight, every day. And he was, in the big scheme of things, he was just a little brother. To me, he's a big brother. But in the crowd that he was in, he was kind of a little brother. Okay? And he was getting kind of anxious to leave. He's like, aren't we done yet? I mean, I'm ready to go. And the Holy Spirit just says, well, what are you in a hurry to leave? What is it that you're in a hurry to leave from? And what is it that you're in a hurry to go to? And he goes, a sandwich. He wanted to leave the presence of God so he could go to a sandwich. How many of y'all know Big Brother repented quick? Does that make sense? See, so sometimes, I mean, yes, we get another thought process, but we don't have to follow it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's go to the Word of God, and I do want to give a shout out and a thank you. This last week, my family and I were able to get away and go. We try. It is it's a firm part of our family that we take about two times a year a vacation, often a week, sometimes 5 days, sometimes, you know, the full week. But we get away, and we get away and get away and just spend time with our family and rest and just be together. And when I say our family, I mean just the Sheetses and, well, the Sheetses and the Shermans, and now it's growing because our family's growing. And so that it's being added to, but it's all our physical family that we go away and get some time of rest. And we're very grateful that you guys continue on. I'm very thankful for the leadership and the servants that keep things moving, that God is big, and the same Christ lives in me, lives in you, and so we can just keep going, amen? It doesn't make me not important. It just means that there's others that can be more important at that moment, amen? And so I am very grateful and thankful for even Pastor Mark being able to speak the word and share the word of God. I encourage you to go and watch that. He threw out a verse, and he didn't really expand on it, but I caught it as a chunk of gold and dug into it. And man, I was like, man, he didn't even mind that out, but the Holy Spirit and I did. So, but you got to hear it. You got to have ears to hear. And so I encourage you, if you're looking for some gold, yeah, he threw it out there. And whether or not you mind it out or not, I'll leave that to you. We're going to continue on in our new series, and I do have a title for it. I know the last couple of weeks I've told you I wasn't sure what I was going to title this series. I do have the title of the big picture of the series we're doing is called The Law of Sowing and Reaping. We're going to look at the law of sowing and reaping. And in that, we're trying to understand about a harvest and the harvest to come and what that needs to look like, et cetera, et cetera. And so in sowing and reaping, we've done, today is number 4 of a I don't know how many part series. Right now, we're still going to talk about sowing and reaping. The first week, if you go onto our YouTube app or our YouTube station channel, or if you go to our website, you can look it up and watch. There should be 3, and then there'll be 4 today. The first one's called Where Did This Come From? And it was just us taking a moment and acknowledging, we've got a harvest going on, and where did it come from? And then what am I going to do with that? And so we started there, and then we looked into for the following 2 Sundays, we talked about God's word as seed, and understanding that God's word is seed. Is it seed in our life? Are we receiving it? Are we allowing it to grow? And we spent 2 weeks on that, and today we're gonna be in that general area of God's word as seed, but we're going to expand it a little bit more. And look, I want to start in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, read with me. This is our key passage, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And we're trying to begin and get revelation on what we sow, we reap. And I do get, sometimes we reap what other people sow. Sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of a spinach crop that we didn't plant, okay? We find ourselves in the middle of a pea field. I wanted to say that, and it just sounds terrible on so many levels. So let's go with spinach. We find ourselves in the middle of a spinach crop, and thankfully there's only one field or one circle. I don't even know how those are grown. But either way, we find ourselves in one field, and I don't like spinach. And since I don't like spinach, I want out of this field into a different field, into a different area. And so what do we do with that? I think they still may need your headset. I think that, okay. All right, so then let's continue on. Verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the flesh of the flesh reaps corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And notice who gets to sow and who gets to reap. Notice who's in charge of this. See, we're looking and beginning to understand that everything that happens it's not up to God. It's not all just up to God. We have a role. We have responsibilities in what we're doing. All right? Number 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. But notice it's in a due season. Here we go. We've got it going for them. Thank you very much for everybody's help. I do appreciate it. And I'll try to continue to my pattern here of letting the machine do its job. Therefore, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to those who are good to us. Oh, that's the nearly inspired version. Or that's the, I got to be careful how I say that because I don't know what it's going to do in the translation. So I'm just going to leave that alone and go with what the word says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, I can't be the only one who has often wondered, why is it that the church, inside the four walls of the church, we're often shooting ourselves, and we're shooting each other, and we're hurting each other, because we don't understand this scripture, that we have got to learn how to do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, see, when we start doing that, how many of y'all know that when you do that, like I'm going to show you in some other, maybe not today, but when you start doing that, do you realize that you will face one big obstacle? And so you don't get it wrong, I'm going to tell you what that obstacle is. It's called persecution. All who live godly will face persecution. So when we start to obey that, we face persecution. And you say, well, wait a minute, I'm doing good to all, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Exactly. And so who's going to bring the persecution? I am not persecuted by anybody who lives in Africa. I'm not persecuted by anybody who lives in Benson. I'm not persecuted by anybody who lives in Georgia. Now, they may do things. They may badmouth me. They may make posts about me and all that. But literally, I don't care. I don't care. But now if you, not you, because you're the good group. Let's go with the early service. That 915 group. Now, they may want to persecute me, but guess what? I'm not there either. Does that make sense? But if I'm there and I'm doing this verse, I will face persecution. It's a promise. It's a seed. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just trying to help us understand that as we obey God, as we grow, as we obey God, see, because you only hurt those that you're around. You may hurt somebody else, but they don't know it. See, I can be upset with the person in Africa that doesn't like me, but they don't know it. Does that make sense? And even if I send them an email, they get to choose to go, what a, and go, am I making sense? All right, so let's keep growing. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the other sermons on sowing and reaping and the Word of God and those things. I want us to go to Proverbs. You were asked to read a couple of weeks ago Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. So I want to stir those. Hopefully you've read them. Hopefully you've meditated on these passages a little bit, so that they can, hopefully you've received the seed that was given to you a couple of weeks ago. And if you did not, now's the time to get it. If you received it, but the enemy stole it, I'm going to give you a chance to get it again. If it's in there, don't dig it up. Just let the Holy Spirit water it. Is that making sense? All right, so let's look at this. Proverbs 4. My son, that's male and female, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Let's keep going. Keep your heart. Notice it's our job. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it springs the issues of life. How many of y'all got issues? How many of y'all ready to deal with issues? See, because when we begin to understand that the issues came out of our heart. See, this is where understanding the difference between spirit, soul, and body is very important. For us to understand that we are spiritual beings. We're a spiritual being. And we have a soul. We have a mind, we have emotions, we have a will, we have a personality, and it's a part of who we are. It's a part of us. But we are a spiritual being who has these things, and we live in an earth suit. That's our body. We live in this earth suit. We're confined to this earth suit, okay? Only for a short time, because when we die, according to to our definition here in the world, when we die, like a glove or a hand coming out of the glove, we leave our earth suit. Our earth suit stays here, and we're in the presence of God as believers. If we're an unbeliever, we're in the presence of the devil. Okay? It's heaven or hell, up or down, no in between. All right? And so what we do right now is important to where we're going to spend eternity. And what we sow and reap now affects our eternity of where we're at, all right? So as we begin to understand, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The issues that we have right now are springing forth from what's in our heart. Now, we are told, and I think I covered it, but if I didn't, I can send them to you, because I have a bunch of scriptures from a couple of weeks ago, and I know I didn't get to all of them, but we are told that at birth, when we're born again, we're born of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, all right, and we're born into the kingdom of heaven. We're taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and we're placed in the kingdom of God's dear Son, and we're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, that's obviously in our spirit. Because if you look in the mirror, if you were chubby, you're still chubby, all right? If you were a fine specimen of a man like me, I'm still a fine, oh, come on, give me, I had to, you know, got to get a little humor in there for you, All right, that's my joke for the day. Pastor Mark gives his joke up front. You waited for it. But in my spirit, I become brand new. And I'm sealed, according to Romans chapter 8, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. But see, my soul realm, my the other part of my heart, when the scripture talks about the heart, he's often, most places, it's talking about the combination of your spirit and your soul. In my spirit, I'm righteous and truly holy. But in my mind, my attitudes, my emotions, my personality, I may have one or two flaws. I may not have right thinking and right understanding of a few things in life. Does that make sense? I try to go easy there, okay? And so part of our growing and our maturing is how to change that. Now, I don't think I finished reading that, but we'll get back to that. Your assignment was to read Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, and there's a great deal there. I want to keep moving. Go to Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. We were supposed to get this in us. A man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his lips, of his mouth, I'm sorry, the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We need a revelation of what this is, because the enemy knows exactly how much power is in our words. The world system knows exactly how much power is in our words. Principalities and powers know exactly how much power is in our words. The problem is, a lot of the church doesn't understand how much power is in our words. Just like I can use my grandbaby, because she's not in the room and she won't hear this. She doesn't know the power of her words, but she's learning. Because Papa will often ask the question. And I remember with my kids, I would ask them, you really want to go to the law, or do we want to go to grace? You know, that's not fair. Do we want what's fair, or do we want grace? And then they're like, wait a minute, well, there's a difference? Yes, there's a difference. It's just a maturing thing. It's a maturing thing. Understanding the difference and understanding the power of our words. So we want to begin to understand that. So we're starting with knowing that God's word is seed. How important is God's word to our lives? How important is it that we hear the word of God and we meditate on the word of God and we allow the word of God to transform our soul realm? Transform our thinking according to Romans 12:2. I know that's in our notes. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an activity that we have to do. It's a choice we have to make. Understanding that not everything that happens is God's will. Just because it happens doesn't mean it's God's will. And God's not going to make any of us do something that, just because it's his will, he is not going to make us do it. We are a free moral agent. We have the ability to choose. And we either choose life or we choose death. And this choice happens in almost, I don't want to say every area, but man, I don't know one area it doesn't, okay? So I'll leave a little room for me to understand a little better. But I, to this point, don't know what area of our life our choices don't matter. And we know this in a natural. We tell our kids, make good choices. We know this. We tell our kids, don't listen to that music. Well, why are we telling them not to listen to that music? Because that music's from the pit of hell. And we know that if they just listen to that music or they watch that movie and they do those things, it changes their mind and they start acting like the music or the movies and all that, right? There's a reason. Please don't make me explain all these by literal examples. There's a reason that we don't do things in the natural. Why do we disconnect from that? We should be doing the same thing when it comes to God's word. We should be doing the same thing when it comes to the things of God, for the kingdom of God. And that's why, even in our title, it's the law of sowing and reaping. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he sows to his flesh, from the flesh he reaps corruption. Not from God. We've got to figure out, God is not up in heaven going, all right, here we go. Let's just see what brother so-and-so will do. I really want him to go over here, but I don't think he will. He already knows. But he's going to give you every opportunity to get there. And he forgave you if you didn't get there. But he's going to keep trying and keep calling you and keep drawing you to get to do what God has called you to do. Am I making sense? Now, how do we lose that? Because we forget that what the scripture says. Now, let's go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We looked at the parable of the sower and the seed. We looked at just part of it. And we want to look at that next part of it today. I want us to start in Matthew chapter 13. I'll give you the references as a reminder. Matthew is 13, 18 through 23. Mark is 4, 13 through 20. And Luke is 8, 11 through 18. We'll revisit that. But I want us to, first of all, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 20. And let's look at it together. But he who received the seed on a stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now hold your finger there. We're gonna come back. Jump over to Mark chapter 4. Let me read you a couple verses there. We're only looking at this part today. We looked at the other part, the first two verses, in our probably part one of the Word of God, or God's Word of Seed. I think it was in there. But let's continue on. What'd I tell you? Mark chapter 4, verse 16. Likewise are those ones sown on stony ground. So we got seed being sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. All right, verse 17. And then they have no root in themselves. So some endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So these two passages are very similar. Let's look at the third one. Before we draw out, we're going to mine out what Jesus is talking about in sowing the seed, which is the word of God. That was clarified that God's word is seed, and this is seed that's being sown, and we already know that we're the ones that are supposed to be sowing the seed. Yes, as a pastor, I sow seed, but you as an individual need to sow seed into your life. I have to sow seed into my life. I have pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers that sow into my life. And I spend time in God's word sowing the word of God into my own life. Am I making sense? All right. So let's look at the last one, Luke chapter 8, verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of tribulation, fall away. Now this is, again, this is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, same scenario, but each one looking at the same scenario from a little different angle. Let me say it this way with a little bit of liberty, okay? Give me a little bit of liberty. We have three men speaking what they heard Jesus say, giving it to us, and all three of these men have different personalities. They were all at the same meeting. They heard it from a perfectly anointed, sinless man of God. Because yes, it was Jesus, but he was all man. And he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he never said anything he didn't hear the Father say. Okay? But he had to choose that. Because how many of y'all know he heard other things? He just didn't follow those hearing. Just like us. We can hear other voices. We can have other thought processes. But we've got to learn to cast those down. We got to learn to go, where was that again in the scripture? Where was that again? Because just because we have a thought, we're going to find out, if not today, soon, that it may have not have come from us. Okay? And even if it came from in us, doesn't mean it was that it lines up with Romans 12, 2. Maybe it has not been transformed. Maybe it was conformed. Does that make sense? Because we all have a thought process that's been conformed by something. We walk in this room and you have a concept or you have a thought process of what you need to do, where you need to go, how you need to go about it in just in this room. And somebody or something taught you that. We want to be transformed what we have thinking by the Word of God. Because when we begin to find out what God's Word says about when you come together. See, you thought I was talking about something else. I'm still talking about when you came in this room. When you came to this meeting, we all had something in our heart and in our mind, in our emotions. We had some preconceived ideas. We had some, for the lack of better terms, we have been conformed to something. Now we look to see if that was conformed by the world or if it had been transformed by the Word of God. Or if it needs to be transformed some more. Because how many of y'all know, getting saved is just the first step, right? Now we grow up. Now we mature. And just because I heard it a year ago and I believed it and I started obeying it, how many of y'all know there's more to know? There's more for me to learn. There's more for me to hear and to add to what I'm learning. Is that making sense? This goes back to when we were praying. Everybody, every one of us knows there's somebody praying that we would be gooder than when we are right now. Even though we may be the best we are right now, somebody's praying that we would be even gooder. Okay? And so the only way to do that is being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it has to come from God's Word or it's coming from something else. The world will conform you. Life, situations will try to conform you to look like the world. But we want to be transformed in our mind, our will, our emotions, our personalities. We want to be transformed to be like Jesus. We're not going to be like Jesus without Jesus. That's what the devil did. He wanted to be like God, but he wanted to do it without God. He wanted to be God and like God have all that he had, but he wanted to do it without God. God said, no, these are my children. I created them in my image. It was God's plan from the very beginning that we would walk the earth, that we would be human beings with authority to rule over all the earth. We were given authority to rule over the earth before there was sin in the earth to what we call ruling over. Now think about that for a second. Let that sink in. It's just like, and I've said it before, I'm looking in the crowd. We don't have any really young ones, so I won't get in any trouble here. give me boldness here, Lord. Do we really understand that when God said in the very beginning, let us make man in our image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. And then when he saw man and everything was good, remember, it was very good. And then he said, there's one thing that's not good. It's that man would be alone. Not lonely, alone. All right? So he took the woman out of the man and brought her around, gave her an earth suit, and put her in front of man and said, here's your helpmate. And he told them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Sex was created before the fall. So why is sex ugly? Why is sex scary to talk about? Because of the fall. Because when you take the fire out of the fireplace, it will burn the house down. But when the fire is in the fireplace where it was divinely designed and created to be, it fulfills the purpose of God. But see, we forget that because of the fall. It was given to us before the fall for a purpose. And had Adam and Eve just obeyed, that purpose would still be going forward. Okay? So we got to understand that there are things that God created for all of us to walk in, all of us to enjoy, and it was done before the fall. And just because of the fall, now see, in the fall we lost it. But what did Jesus give us back? That relationship. See, everything comes back to the relationship with God. That's why he said in John 17, this is eternal life. That they may know him. That they may know God and his son, Jesus Christ. That was the beginning. To know God. To walk with God. Adam and Eve walked with God every day. They heard him. They obeyed him. And they had such a life that things were growing. And we don't know how long that took. We do know that when we leave here and we're back in the presence of God, and later he's going to give a new heaven and a new earth where there'll be no sin. How many of y'all know there's no sin in heaven? Right? There's no sickness, no disease, no sorrow, no lack, no poverty. They ain't worried about the potholes in the street. They're made of gold. That's a pretty big God. That he done, it was important to him to create heaven with streets of gold. That'll connect later. Let's go back to scripture before I get us all in trouble. All right. So some of the things that we see in these passages. Oh my goodness. Some of the things that we see in the three things. We see stony ground. And can we conclude that the stony ground is talking about hardness of heart? Can we all get on that page? Is that too much of a stretch? Is there anything else it could be talking about? Because I don't really see one. And since I'm the teacher, all right, I'm open for discussion, but not at this very moment. But let's run with the fact that stony ground represents a hard heart. Okay? A hard heart. So let's find out what else the scripture says about a hard heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. If you've been in faith school with us and that's what we didn't announce. We should be on week 110, I believe it should be, coming up. Week 110 in our faith school. I encourage you to jump in. You can either jump in week one or week 110. I strongly recommend starting on week one. To get the foundation, and then join us on week 10, 110, maybe as an afternoon class, because there's a lot. There's a lot covered. So let's go back to this. Oh, I wasn't giving you that. I wanted to give you Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. Did you guys read this? Am I showing it to you in the New Testament? Okay, this is a New Testament. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Can you give me the first part on the screen again? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. Do we realize that today, the Holy Spirit is speaking? Tomorrow, the Holy Spirit will speak. Tuesday, Wednesday, not just Sunday, and not just through me. Does that make sense? Because he says here in Hebrews, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, so he's repeating something. He's repeating Old Testament, all right? If you hear his voice, notice the choice. If you hear. How many of y'all heard the little tiny voice that came in the room a while ago? Only parents who have an ear to hear probably heard that little voice. Or if you're just hard at hearing, you didn't hear it because it wasn't loud. But the parents needed to hear their little son say mom or dad or whatever. But see, you got to have a ear to hear is my point. How many of you heard the train go by 15 minutes ago? Most of us don't hear it anymore. We just kind of block it out. I lived roughly the same distance from the train track in my home. I don't hear it most of the day, but it goes by about every 20 minutes. But I don't hear it. Are you connecting this? It's our choice to hear. He says, when you hear, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, the day of trial in the wilderness. We've got to learn not to harden our heart when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit is speaking to edify us. I don't know if we talked about that before or not. Do you realize what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us? Do we literally know what God is wanting to say to us? I mean, first of all, he wrote it down, okay? So if you just stick with that, you're good. But anytime you think the Holy Spirit is speaking something to you, and it's condemning, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always going forward. I'm checking my heart. I'm checking to make sure I can say this right. When the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, he tells us. And he leaves it up to us. Okay? Does that make sense? He told Abraham, get your stuff and leave this. Leave all of this and go here. Now, he didn't give him a great detail of where. He gave him limited details of where he was going. But he told him what to leave. Is there anything in there that he said, excuse me, I told you? It's not in there. To my knowledge, according to what's written in the Word of God, God never said, I told you to leave Lot there, and you didn't. Take him back. See, that's our idea. And we're reading about it. And we can get that thought process. Why did he leave Lot? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I can assure you of this. The Holy Spirit's told me to do things, and I've not always hit the mark 100%. But God didn't hold it against me. He kept with me because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit, who allow the Spirit of life to lead them. Does that make sense? See, so God, even though as good as this message could be, when I get home and I start to ponder what I shared, Paul may have a few things he says I could have done better, but the Holy Spirit is going, hey, I got more for you. Let me show you this a little better. See, he may get the point that I should have said or did something different, but not because he's pointing back, because he's pointing forward. Does that make sense? Because he's going, okay, there's more, son. There's more. Keep coming. Okay, there's more. Yes, we're accountable to every word we say because we will reap what we sow. Does that make any sense? All right, hardness of heart. Man, I hope I didn't spend. John 10:27. This confirms that we hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. But notice there's a choice. And they follow me. We have to choose to follow him. just like we read in Hebrews 3:7, that we have to follow him. Verse 28 of John 10 says, "And I give them eternal life. I give them relationship with me and my son, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Now, let me read that again to you in the Paul's translation. "My sheep hear my voice, my children hear my voice, my sons and daughters hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them a relationship with me and my son Jesus, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Do we believe that? What do we do with that? How do we change the way what we do and what we don't do? How do we change where we go and where we don't go? How do we change what we say and what we don't say? See, there's many times that if I wanted to say something to you, I may know the truth, and I may even be able to figure out how to say it in love. But the third question is it my job to say it? Do they have an ear to hear it? Does that make sense? Well, is that any less than the Father? The Father's going to speak the truth. Will we hear it? And when we hear it, will we follow it, or will we harden our heart? See, if you don't understand what Hebrews 3 is talking about, the children of Israel heard the word of the Lord. They had clear direction. "I am giving you a promised land. I am going to give you houses you did not build, trees you did not plant. I'm giving you the goodness of God on the earth as an inheritance because you're my kids and I love you. I have taken you out of bondage that you and your family got yourselves into. I'm taking you to a new land. I'm going to give you new life. I'm going to give you a new kingdom." Are you following me with this illustration? Okay? Because I'm not talking about the children of Israel as much as I'm talking about you and I. But see, they had to follow. Hebrews 3:7 said, when they heard his voice, they hardened their hearts. They did not believe. Well, why don't we believe? Why is our heart hardening? Look with me. There's many other promises in these. Let's go. I want us to look at another scenario. Hardenings of heart, okay? Look at this in each one of them. He talks about in tribulation. Oh, no. First, he talks about not having roots. How important are our roots? And I'm not talking about the earth buzzword of, well, I came from this. Because, you've been with me any time, I'll tell you, we all come from a drunken sailor. Okay, we all go back to Noah. I don't care what color our skin is. We all bleed red. Before Noah, there was Adam and Eve. And the scripture says, every man was born through Eve. Amen? All right? So we all go back to Adam and Eve. So we need to get all that other stuff, and we need to be transformed, our thinking, our emotions, to what God's word says. Boy, I just said a lot. I hope you had an ear to hear it. Hallelujah. So it says our roots. What other passages do we know about roots? Let me give you one real quick. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law," that's the law of the Lord, "does he meditate day and night." Look at this, verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither," the leaves shall not wither, "and whatever he does shall prosper." Do roots matter? Roots Manor, where you get planted. Look at Psalm 92. I love this one. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. You look that up, Google it, not right now. That is an amazing looking tree. Man, we looked at that on a Wednesday night. It's really cool. Those planted by the, Lebanon, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. It used to be important to God where you got planted. Are you planted in the house of the Lord? Look at what happens. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Wait a minute. We're going to flourish in the courts of our God? Where is that? Oh, my goodness. Let me just help you with this. It ain't in the sweet by and by. All right? I mean, yeah, it's going to be there too, but it starts right here, right now. All right? Let's go to verse 14. They shall bear fruit even when in their old age. Now, this should cause a runaround by most of you in the room. They shall bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Do you have a revelation of how important roots are? And that you get rooted in the house of the Lord. That you get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Ephesians, we don't have time to go there. We've spoke on it many times. Ephesians chapter 4, you can write this down. Go study it. Meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit, the teacher who lives in you, teach you. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 32 is all about growing up. Maturity. The house of God, the people of God, his people, you and I, maturing and growing and growing together. All right, so in closing, I'm going to try to land. I'm going to take a few extra minutes, but I need to wrap this up, so I acknowledge that. Look with me back to our main passage there, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 13, I want to look at verse 23, because you've heard a lot. But here's the goal. Here's part of the goal. Matthew 13, 30, 23, sorry. But he who receives seed on good ground, not the hard ground we talked about, good ground, is he who hears the word and understand it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. That's Matthew. Let's look at the next one. Look at Mark. But these are ones who sow on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. Very similar to Matthew. Let's look at Luke. But those who fell on good ground, the seed that fell on good ground, are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, bear fruit with endurance. Patience. With patience. See, it's one thing for us to go, yeah, that's the word of God, Paul. Yeah, you've taught us the word of God. Listen, it's up to us to hear the word, to understand the word, to allow the word of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, transform our thinking. Can we go, it's right there in God's word, and if I don't understand it, I receive it anyway. This is God's word, this is his promises, and I receive it. And then we wait upon the Lord. This is why it says, those who wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Waiting on the Lord, I don't have time to get in and explain that. Do you realize that waiting is more like a waiter or a waitress, not just standing by idle? Okay? A good waiter or waitress is eyeballing your body language and the things you're doing, and they're ready to bring you the next course or bring you your refill. They know what's going on, and they're doing it. They're waiting on you. They're serving you. All right? God's word, Jesus said, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That means we're so watching him, we're listening, we're hearing him, we're talking to him, we're following him, and that our strength is renewed. That as we hear him, we know. See, this is a concept we've got to understand. We know in John 10:10, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. How many of us literally believe that God is bigger than the devil? God is more powerful than the powers of darkness. God has a better plan than the plans of the enemy. But why is it we always know the plans of the enemy and we struggle knowing the plans of God? Why do we struggle knowing? It's good or it's not God. It's prosperous or it's not God. Show me anywhere that God wants us to have lack. Show me anywhere where he doesn't want us to know. Show me anywhere where he doesn't want us to be a part of what he's doing. But see, we've got to hear him, we've got to believe him, and then we got to follow him. And believe it or not, it ain't all about the stuff. The stuff goes through. The stuff goes through. God is not against. It was his idea to pave heaven with gold. It was his idea. And you're like, yeah, but we're not in heaven. Okay. You got time for one more? Go back into Genesis. Not right now. This is homework. I'll land. In Genesis, when he gives the description, and he creates the world, and he gives the description, the first thing he tells them before the fall is where to find the gold. Why? Have you ever pondered this? This was before the fall. He describes where to find gold on the earth. It was there for the believer, not the unbeliever. But see, all who live godly will face persecution. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. If you want 100-fold, you're going to face persecution. If you want the goodness, so buckle up. Buckle up, man. Buckle up, man. Did you learn anything? Amen. Amen. I hope you did. I encourage you, go back, watch it again. You know what? If I said something that just wasn't right on, throw it out. Go look at the Word of God. You know my heart, I only want to give you what God is saying. I showed it to you on the screen, okay? And now you can go back and go, yeah, that's the Word of God. Okay? Are we learning? Are we growing? Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. Thank you, Lord. Father, I do love you and I praise you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who has been with us right now, teaching us, leading us, guiding us, directing us. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for stirring your word in our heart. I thank you for confirming your word in our heart as we heard it. And Lord, right now, we want to obey in the very sense of we don't want a hard heart. We don't want to harden our heart as we've heard your word. We surrender our heart to you, that our heart would be pliable, that our mind and our will and our emotions will be transformed by your word. Father, help us to see, to hear, and to know you. And as we know you, we walk with you. Father, you have made us more than conquerors. You are with us. There's literally nothing that we can't do in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to be salt and light. We thank you for blessing us that we can be a blessing to others. We thank you for giving to us more than enough so that we will have to give those that are in need. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand. Do you believe that God just gave you enough of the word so that you will have to give to those who are in need? See, in that passage, he's talking about money. Don't make no mistakes. But just for the sake of argument or heart feelings, slide it over into make it spiritual. Did you just get enough of the word? Will you receive enough of the word so that you will have to give to those in need? It's up to you. Amen? So, Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ that's gathered here. I thank you for those that are listening later. And those that have joined us online, I bless them. I thank you for them. And I thank you for what you're doing in this great city of Wilcox as you transform our hearts and our lives. As we walk with you, I thank you for each one of my brothers and sisters here. I thank you that as we grow together and you assemble us together in Jesus' name, so be it. Hug somebody, encourage them, bless them. Make sure they know our other meetings and activities that are going on.